You know, I was thinking this morning, I'm so glad that someone introduced me to Jesus. I'm so glad that someone introduced me to Jesus. I'm so thankful. So thankful. When I think about my life and the direction that it was headed, when I think about what it would be like without Jesus, there's no question. My life is completely changed, is so much better with Jesus. Anyone here had the same experience?
Yes.
Come on, is your life better with Jesus? Amen. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. The City Harbor Church helping people take next steps in following Jesus. We're focused on interacting with Jesus, getting to know Jesus. Today is Palm Sunday. It's a Sunday on the calendar when Christians for a long time have recalled when Jesus came in that holy week into the city of Jerusalem. And so, in an effort to get to know Jesus a little better this morning, I want to take us to that story to start this time and this message together. Palm Sunday. And they greeted King Jesus. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, 'Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in highest heaven.'" In years past, we've unpacked the meaning of these words and the meaning of this Sunday in a variety of different ways. We've looked at that. I want to focus on Jesus. Who Jesus Christ is. Who they saw Jesus Christ to be. Their words specifically note that they were looking at Jesus Christ as king. Now, the concept of king is one that we're kind of familiar with, if we're honest, more from fantasy and entertainment than we are in a functional, real sense. And for those of us, particularly over the age of 30, the last decade has been marked with a lot of less than perfect leaders in the world. We're seeing ill effects of dictatorship. I want to look at King Jesus, who is not like the dictators of this world, who is different, who is pure. And so, we might even come today with a negative view of what it means to be king. I'd like to shine the light on the purity, the blessing that it is that Jesus is king. Because Jesus is different. Have you found him to be different? You can shout at me today. You can talk to me today. Come on, if there's any day on the calendar where we can and should be excited, this is that day. I want to look at Jesus because I want to interact with Jesus. Because I have found in myself multiple character flaws, issues, and problems. I have found in other people multiple character issues and flaws. But I have found none in Jesus. And my own life has been changed for the good by interacting with Jesus. I'm still not perfect. I still make mistakes. But I tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm better because of looking to Jesus, focusing on Jesus. And I want to get to know who Jesus is. Some would say, Jesus, my homeboy. Jesus is certainly humble, friendly, accessible. But I want to shine a light today on his identity as king. Are you okay with that? Because that's what they were praising him for. That's what today, Palm Sunday, is marked. They were praising him as king. And they noted, Son of David. David was a king who united warring tribes. He was the one who could quash the beef. He could bring Will Smith and Chris Rock back together again. I'm so glad to hear some laughter. Come on. Jesus was a peacemaker, a bridge builder. That's who Jesus is. A better king. They called Son of David because David was one who quashed the beef, who stopped the noise, who stopped the shade, who united the kingdom, who brought peace. He was also kind of like a player's coach. Because David, even though he made serious mistakes in his life, he was loved by the people. In part because he had a heart for God. In part because he came from a dirty profession of being a shepherd. He didn't forget where he came from. Again, he made mistakes, but Son of David, they identified him with David as one of the best of their kings. They were looking to him as king. Let's just look at a few verses. Matthew, we're going to look at Matthew's perspective today. And I want you to remember, Matthew was a tax collector, a sinner, one who had made enemies, who found Jesus as a peacemaker, whose life was changed. And Matthew said, this is a record of the ancestors of Jesus, the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. We believe Jesus was a miracle birth to the Virgin Mary, and that's where his primary royalty line is as the Son of the Living God. But let's not forget that the people who greeted him on that Palm Sunday were also greeting him as the Son of Mary, who was of royal birth. He was in the line of royalty. They called on that royalty. It is both. And they said, the wise men, when they came before the ruler, they say, where is the newborn king of the Jews? They had seen a sign that a king had been born. King Jesus, no one is better. Now, I certainly have been a person who did not like authority, did not like leaders. I had lots of problems with leaders, and for some, with good reason. I have been misused, mistreated by leaders in my life. And so I've never really had much of a problem with people who don't like me as a leader, because I get what it's like to have a problem with leadership. But we also do talk about the GOAT, the greatest of all time. In sports, in the arena of sports, there are people that we look to as being the best. There's no one better. I want you to think about King Jesus like the best. There's no one better. We think about a GOAT. We think about Serena Williams. We think about Billie Jean King. We don't like to, but we think about Tom Brady. I think about Mia Hamm, one of the best soccer players ever. I think about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. I think about Lindsey Vonn in skiing. I think about Babe Ruth in baseball. I think about Jackie Joyner-Kersee in track and field. No one better. I think about Wayne Gretzky in hockey. No one better. I'm here today to say Jesus Christ is no one better. Just like you might want to look to one of the names I listed for lessons in their individual support, in their individual sport, shouldn't we also look to Jesus for leadership, for guidance? King Jesus, who is pure, who is unrivaled, who is unparalleled? King Jesus. There's this week, as we are entering Holy Week, regardless of the vocabulary that you use for it, a Maundy Thursday, a Good Friday, a Resurrection Sunday, Easter, this is a week on the calendar where Christians for a long time have focused on the identity of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And I want to take us through some of the scriptures that you might be reading this week when you think about King Jesus. Now, Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. "Are you the king of the Jews?" the governor asked him. Jesus replied, "You have said it." Jesus did not denounce his identity as king. Pilate was a seeker in some ways of truth. He was asking a question. But the tragic irony of the story of Holy Week is that Pilate also did not fear Jesus as a political rival. He did not understand what it meant that he was standing with a king above all kings. Further in Matthew's account, we see the tragic irony as the soldiers knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews." The tragic irony in the story, a sign was fastened above Jesus' head announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Certainly he is king. But what kind of king is he? I don't know about you, but a lot of times the problems I've had with leaders is because I don't want to be like them. And that may not be a bad thing. But let's look at Jesus and ask ourselves if we want to be like him. Let's ask ourselves, what kind of king is he? What do we understand about King Jesus to be true? Well, Jesus himself said that he came to seek and save those who are lost. It's a part of his purpose, a part of his identity as king. Jesus is spoken about in 1 John 3:16. We believers, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. What do we learn about King Jesus? Let's go to his words again. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man," a phrase Jesus used to reference his humanity, "for even I came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." It's King Jesus describing what his leadership is like. It's a servant leadership, walking in humility. I appreciate the fact that the PhD that Brian Beach is doing through Region and talking about organizational leadership, there's a whole section where they talk about the servant leadership of Jesus and what we learn from it. It's why Region is a good school. What I admire in this world is people who understand servant leadership. Multiple times people have come to me and asked for leadership in our church that did not display it, and it was not given. Jesus modeled servant leadership. That's what he's like. But also look, he speaks to the purpose of that humanity, giving his life as a ransom for many. It's good news. Jesus took on himself our sins in that Holy Week so that we can be forgiven. We can be cleansed. We can receive new spiritual life, a new heart. The hope of heaven before us, a relationship with a loving God uninterrupted. Look what King Jesus accomplished for us. Oh, I'm so thankful God the Father would send us King Jesus, a servant leader who rode on a donkey's colt. There's a picture of a donkey's colt. I just want you to get a sense of the humility. He rode down the streets of Jerusalem in the face of Roman soldiers on their mighty war horses on the colt of a donkey. Fulfilling the prophecy. Jesus himself describing it, fulfilling the prophecy that says, look, here comes your king. That's different. That's unusual. That's not like the leaders we don't like. Hello? One of my favorite passages you will hear multiple times in this church from Philippians chapter 2. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? And what's talked about next is not what you're expecting. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Look at your King Jesus. No one is better. No one is better. King Jesus, humble servant. This week, when you turn to the scriptures to read the story of Holy Week, expand your understanding, expand your view of who Jesus is. Could we go from HD to 4K in our understanding of who Jesus is? A humble king. A humble king. And one day every knee should bow. When he returns, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Here's what it means to them to bow. To bend the knee or body or incline the head is in reverence, submission, recognition, acknowledgement, to yield, submit, in worship, respect, and agreement. That we bow to King Jesus. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. This is the resurrected Jesus. Raised to life by the Father. Over 40 days, he spends time with 500 people revealing himself in that human resurrected form before he returned to the Father. And one of the last things that he said to them about his identity as king is that God the Father had given him all authority in heaven and on earth. And that phrase, in heaven and in earth, means in all that you see and all that is unseen. The spirit realm and the natural realm. God the Father gave him all authority. This word authority, we have a problem with. What Jesus means, what it meant in the Greek, is a power to do something. A power that is unlimited, where nothing can limit this ability. Jesus is saying, He is the one who has power without limits. Have you ever found yourself in life in need of a Savior who has power without limits? Certainly the human experience is to bump up against limitations. Right? I mean, I think that was probably my very first temper tantrum as a little boy. Thank God he made me cute when I was little. You should see the pictures. My mom would love to tell you how cute I was. We don't know what happened. The very first temper tantrum I probably ever threw was related to limitations in this world. We don't like it when we don't get our way. We don't always know what's best. But sometimes we run up against limitations that God wants us to ask for breakthrough in. And sometimes the breakthrough comes as a surprise. And sometimes the breakthrough comes when we're learning more about who God is, and in that learning that God is without these limitations, that what is limiting us does not limit God, and our faith rises and we call out to God for breakthrough. And I am joining my faith with yours in calling out to God for breakthrough in a number of things, believing that King Jesus is without limitation. He submits to the will of the Father. He'll return and be revealed and worshiped when the Father says, go. Right? But let's just note just a few specific words that speak to. In King Jesus, there is love. I'm just going to summarize a bunch of scriptures this morning in closing. In King Jesus, there is love. Not lust that takes from you, not manipulation, not just emotional infatuation that fades. Supernatural, amazing love. The best of love you've ever experienced, and then more. In King Jesus, there is love. In King Jesus, there is freedom. He said, I came to give you life and that to the full. He brings freedom to us. Freedom from the guilt of our sin and our shame when we come to Him for salvation, repentance, and forgiveness. He brings freedom. Freedom from the need to be punished for our wrongs and freedom from the command to repeat those wrongs. He brings freedom. King Jesus is about freedom. In King Jesus, there is peace. Perfect peace. Come on, somebody. The God, shalom peace, erene peace, that even in complex situations brings things to full health, to restoration, that makes right the wrongs. He brings peace. In King Jesus, there's peace in me. That's not possible without Him. And in King Jesus, in homes, in neighborhoods, come on somebody, in schools, in cities, there can be peace. When people come and recognize King Jesus, there can be peace. In King Jesus, there is humility. He spoke to it. He lived it. It was a part that they recognized. It was one of His essential ingredients. It was a part of the chocolate chips in the chocolate chip cookie. It was a part of the ingredients that if you take it out, it's no longer Jesus. If you took away the humility, they wouldn't have recognized Him as Jesus. In King Jesus, there's humility. Humility is being comfortable in your own skin. It's not self-deprecating. I got really good at self-deprecating humor. It's not tearing yourself down. Humility includes coming to peace with who you are and not lording over someone else. Not putting someone else down so you can feel better. That's humility. Jesus submitted to the will of the Father in going to the cross. But even in his interactions with people, they recognized it like that's Jesus was humble. In King Jesus, there's humility. In King Jesus, there is power. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. In King Jesus, there is power. I want you to consider today what King Jesus brings to you as a gift of who he is, but also you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You believers in Jesus as Savior are co-heirs with Christ. You are a part of the family. You are a child of God. So when anxiety and insecurity and self-deprecation, when negative thoughts like that come, in King Jesus, you have love. King Jesus brings love. King Jesus brings freedom. Freedom from the need to be punished for your mistakes. Freedom from the need to repeat your mistakes. Freedom from that false talk in your head that is negative, that is tearing you down. King Jesus brings freedom. King Jesus brings peace. It's something I pray when I am not feeling peace. I say, God, I believe that in you there is peace even when I'm not feeling it. King Jesus brings peace. And if we were to all recognize it, it would be the end of all wars. The end of all feuds. The end of all struggle, the end of all strife, and when he returns, so it will be. King Jesus brings peace. King Jesus brings humility. What did we read of Philippians 2? King Jesus brings humility in me. Again, not a crushing of my person, a healing and a releasing and a joy in my person. King Jesus brings power. What did Jesus do? He turned to his followers and he said, I give you authority. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have power that you did not have before. Now, some of you look a little uncomfortable now. No, this is the truth. In fact, the scripture also says that creation is groaning, waiting for us to wake up to who we are. If you're a child of God, you've been given power. It's all in alignment with Jesus. It's all with humility, love, and peace. You have been given power. And that's how and why the followers of Jesus turned and confronted evil. Cast out dark spirits, brought change to their world, because there was this, oh, this is who King Jesus is. This is who I am as a part of that royal priesthood. We should allow God to bring healing where we are insecure. Allow God to bring healing. Ephesians 4 says, let the Spirit make new your thoughts and attitudes. We should say, Lord, help me receive your thoughts, your love, your feeling. Help me be changed by it. Help me recognize where I need to change and grow, not to become some immature, well, everybody's just got to accept me. No, help me to be humble and to grow and change and improve, but help me to become comfortable in my own skin and recognize the fact that in Jesus I have power. Spiritual power. Maybe the most difficult thing with which to wield it is inside ourselves. When we let the light of God, the love of God, the peace of God come and change who we are, the other stuff is easier. And I've seen it in you. I want to close with the prophecy that Jesus referenced because I think it's relevant to the wars and conflict of this world, but it's also relevant to the violence in Baltimore City, and it's also relevant to the conflict that we feel inside ourselves. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 10. This is the prophecy that Jesus said was fulfilled on that Palm Sunday. Rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph. O people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Everywhere on planet Earth is in the realm of King Jesus. King Jesus. Last week, I intended to close the message with this prayer from a wonderful Christian leader, Melva W. Costin, written a great book on African-American worship. Here's her prayer I find relevant. Almighty and all-wise God, our Heavenly Father, through your goodness and mercy, we have been spared to assemble ourselves here. Once more to call upon a captain who has never lost a battle. Oh, throw round us your strong arms of protection. Bind us together in love and union. Build us up where we are torn down and strengthen us where we are weak. Oh Lord, take the lead of our minds. Place them on heaven and on heavenly divine things. Oh God, our captain and king. Lord, we thank you. Father God, we thank you for sending King Jesus to earth to live a life pure, enduring the shame of public false accusation, judgment, torture, going to the cross to take our sins on himself. We thank you, God, you rose him from the dead on the third day as proof that salvation is possible in Jesus. We thank you for how we have been changed by King Jesus. God, you truly have been good to us. God, we celebrate you. We thank you. We open ourselves up to you today and say, Lord, would you change anything about us you want to change? Like clay on the potter's wheel, would you shape us in the way that you want to shape us? Would you help us to recognize where you are shaping us to be more like Jesus? Help us receive your love without limits today. Help us give your love without limits today. We thank you, God, for who you are, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.